Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. I feel like Dennis Schroeder might have had some new Chunky Spicy Soup from Campbell's because he was fired up. I mean, this is game 80 of the season, right? Brooklyn's not going to the playoffs. They're not going to the play-in. Toronto's not going to the playoffs. They're not going to the play-in. It's game 80. The season literally ends this weekend for both these teams. And it was going along as you would expect. A lot of players out for Brooklyn, even more players out for Toronto. Raptors continue to start Malik Williams. They started Garrett Temple. They have a number of players missing from their rotation. Quickly rested the front end of the back-to-back. He played a prominent role in this one. And it kind of just was that kind of like back and forth type of game. You know, it was competitive in terms of the Raptors played hard, but realistically, it's a bit of a struggle fest from both sides until it got to the fourth quarter. And that's where Mr. Dennis Schroeder really turned it to another level. Was he having a good game by that point? Not really. I mean, he was missing shots. He was not that prominent. He was mostly looking to set up guys, but it felt like nobody else on Brooklyn had any energy and any sort of intent at this game. And, you know, it was, ironically enough, it was actually a post-up from Ochai Agbaji where he took his sweet time going one-on-one against Dennis in the middle of the lane, took many dribbles. It's a bit awkward. Obviously, Dennis was trying to fight back, but he's much smaller, as we know, than Ochai. And Ochai got around him for an and-one, and it was right in front of the Raptors bench, too, and everybody stood up. Like, Scotty, Gary, Bruce, RJ, Kelly. I mean, you know, we got a whole team over there, basically. They all stand up, and they all salute, and they all start cheering for that play. And it just felt like there's a little bit extra in it, because at that point, Dennis then started to take over. And Toronto had led, not by much, because offensively they just weren't executing well enough, or they just didn't have enough talent on the floor, quite frankly, to really build up a big edge. But at the same time, Toronto did lead, but it wasn't until Dennis started going off where Brooklyn started getting the momentum back on their side. And Dennis went on a personal 8-0 run there, hit back-to-back threes, then a driving floater after crossing up Grady Dick. It seemed like he really went after Grady on switches, obviously him knowing the game plan of, you know, obviously being teammates with Grady to start the year. It was the same thing in the last matchup when Brooklyn came to Toronto. He also really went after Grady and had a really good game in that one as well. It just kind of went like that. And then it became like a bit of a back and forth. The Raptors, mostly answered back with Emmanuel Quickley, who knocked down a big three at one point. And, that gave the Raptors the lead with under a minute left. But Dennis immediately got that one back with a driving and one over Quickley. And then at that point, the Raptors just needed to get one more bucket to go back on top. They couldn't get that bucket, and they had to play the foul game. And once again, it was Dennis who kept getting to the ball in those crunch time moments, and he literally made all of them. I think he went 5 of 5 from the foul line, all in the fourth quarter alone. So the Raptors lose 106-102. It's not really about the result. We've since lowered expectations to not really expect wins. And especially at this point, it's like, who cares, right? Like the value of winning this is like, honestly, not that dissimilar from winning in a preseason. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really going to matter. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything in the standings. In fact, if you actually really want to look at the tanking, all that kind of stuff, Memphis continues to be really shorthanded, and they're probably going to lose out in the rest of the season. The Raptors will, you know, I think they have the room to win one more game, but again, like, you know, do they even have the players to win one more game against motivated teams such as Miami, who will be, you know, very, very grateful to see Toronto twice in the back end of their schedule here as they look to escape the play-in that they're basically destined to be in every year. But in any case, it's not about the result. It's about how the game was. And I'm actually really happy that this game was really tight. It was really well contested. It was physical. You know, it was difficult for sure. And it's just the Nets, right? But at the same time, they really did a good job defending. They got 15 blocks in this one, which was kind of the game deciding difference between the two sides. Raptors had to shot the three well, 16 of 40. A lot of that was obviously Quickley, who had 4 of 11 from 3, including the late 3 there to put them up briefly. And then Grady also made a career-high 6 threes on a career-high 14 attempts. And Grady's previous career high in attempts was 10, and he had already hit that mark with about 8 minutes left in the third quarter. So he was super aggressive, and there was moments, in, especially in that second half, where, you know, Grady would come down, miss a shot, miss a three, then come down, take another three, miss it, get the offensive rebound, kick it back to Grady, and then step back for a 3-2. It's like, you know what? Go ahead. Like, you, this is the time, right? Out of all times to do it, this is the time. Go ahead, you know, explore the extent of your game, and really be aggressive, because there's a very big difference between, like, you know what? You're capitalizing off threes, versus when you're hunting for threes. And of course, when you're hunting for the shots, you could very quickly, very easily cross over to the other side where you're like too aggressive and you're just kind of like throwing them up, and sort of taking bad shots. But I thought Grady did a really good job of hunting for the threes. You saw some crossover for threes, you saw some, like, you know, jab step to create a bit separation, then pull up for the three, like little subtle things like that, just hunting for it. And again, eventually over time, like, you know, that's going to create, you know, more and more opportunities for Grady. I mean, it, you know, we already know at this point Grady's a really good three-point shooter, and that's what he was drafted for. And he started the season slow, but midway through the season and beyond, he's really caught, you know, this good momentum, and he's riding it out towards the end of the season. I mean, first off, he was actually out for the last game with the groin injury, so it's good to just see him back in the lineup in general. But to see him score 24 points, which I believe is also a career high, and also knock down six threes, and again, hunting for those threes, that's what's going to help him scale up. Because eventually you get to the point where it's like, you know, when you watch the majority of, like, you know, I don't want to say Steph and, you know, guys like that, but, like, you know, Clay's threes, or, you know, Kyle Korver's threes, or JJ Redick's threes, like, you know, they hunt for these shots. Not only the motions and the actions are a run sort of to get them, you know, open, but, you know, they're also taking and finding every opportunity to launch them. And I feel like Grady, you know, really, really tapped into that tonight. So I was happy to see Grady. And then, of course, Quickley's effort was also really strong. I mean, offensively, he started the game a little bit slowly. I think, you know, like everyone else on the Raptors, he struggled with Brooklyn's rim protection. Again, they had 15 blocks, which is quite impressive. Nick Claxton was a big part of that, as you would expect, although he also goaltended a fair share of them. But then Noah Clowney as well, their first-round pick from this year. I don't know why he hasn't played for the majority of the season, but he had 7 blocks tonight, which was, I mean, that's damn impressive, to be fair. Including a huge block at the end of the game to atone for his own mistake. The Raptors were down 2. The shot clock was turned off. The Raptors just pressured a little bit, going for the steal. Garrett Temple does get the steal on Clowney, but then Garrett gets a little bit too aggressive, and he tries to take it at the end of the court to, you know, the other side. And whatever, it's not just that Garrett's smaller or they're older than Clowney, but Clowney already had 6 blocks at that point. It just, you know, we always praise Garrett for, like, making really good, you know, ideas and good reads. And, like, that's just a bad read. Like, you got to pick your spots there. You get the steal, you're already done really well, and then you take you cash your chips out. Raptors had a timeout if they needed to. They're only down 2. Get it back out to Quickley, get it to whoever, and just try to go from there. Instead, obviously, he got blocked and the Raptors had to commit the foul. But still, Nets really did a good job protecting the rim, and Quickley had some early misses and a couple of late misses as well. But ultimately, the driving force of Toronto's offense was Quickley, who finished with 32 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, a steal, a block. You know, really took the challenge of guarding Dennis in a lot of those moments where Dennis was really going off, and Quickley was the guy who stepped in there for one or two stops. Seemed like him and Dennis were going at it a fair bit as well, too. Just, you know, again, former teammates. You know, Quickley has spoken well of Dennis. Dennis has spoken well of Quickley, you know, all that kind of stuff. But still, you know, that's that. If anybody who's played sports, when you play against your friends, it's actually even, you want to be even more competitive. It's more fun that way. There's more stakes on the line, you know, and I felt that very much seeing the heat of the battle in the fourth quarter. And again, I really wasn't expecting to say that because it's Raptors Nets in game 80. Like, to get anything out of this game would be a plus, but to actually see them really attack and compete each other was really well. But over the course of the game, I thought Quickley really got into a good rhythm. Second quarter, started charting a lot of his drives, and he did a really, really good job of touching the paint. And sometimes even on his misses, you know, that created, you know, 2 guys going towards Quickley, and that left Malik Williams there for a dunk. Quickley also drove and kicked it to Grady for 2 threes in that stretch. Then Quickley also got some and ones driving. You know, he's for me, I am curious to see what Quickley's one-on-one shot creation is going to be, because that is something that, you know, I see the point guard skills. I see the speed going downhill. We've seen games like this from Quickley. This reminds me a lot of that game they played in Portland as well, where the Raptors lost. Also against a, you know, similarly decrepit opponent, let's be honest. Brooklyn and Portland are not good competition, but still, like, competitive games in those both of those instances. And quickly was leading the charge in both of those with very, very few, you know, secondary options. This other game, it was, I guess, Chris Boucher was a secondary option, and this one was Grady, but still very much quickly leading the charge. And you know what? In addition to, like setting up the plays and being efficient and creating all that other stuff, it is still pretty important to have a little bit of like shot creation as well, something out of nothing if they need to. Like, for example, I thought Dennis actually did a really good job of that. In this game where, okay, you know, all the balance of the game, he actually played quite bad and quickly was thoroughly outplaying him. But then in crunch time, you saw Dennis like, okay, I'm going to get to the basket for a couple of these plays here. I'm going to take it strong against quickly. I'm going to take it strong against Grady. A little bit of trickery here and there just to like, for, you know, create a shot. Now, it doesn't have, it's not the most efficient shot. You know, I don't think any team in the league is realistically, I mean, outside of Brooklyn right now, but like, most teams in the league aren't like actively looking for you know, Dennis to have the ball, and it's just like, okay, you know, you do whatever you want with it. We're just going to stand us around. But like, there is still the need for that based on ability. What can you create? Even if it's not the most efficient shot, what can you get me? It's not even about the efficiency so much as like, what shot can you get to in these tough moments? And I still want to see quickly develop a little bit more on that front. You saw him going towards a couple baseline pull-ups on the baseline. He did make one over Cam Thomas, but he also missed one crucially late in the game as well. And then a lot of drives, you know, towards the basket. You saw a little bit of craft, I would say. Like, you know, he mostly gets there with burst, and he likes to, you know, use the floaters and the bank shots and try to use his touch. The fact that he's going so quickly, like, you know, pun intended in this case, to towards the basket, like, he's, it is going to make it a little bit difficult. I think that's one of the reasons why Westbrook misses a lot of layups, is he's just playing so fast that, like, you know, the ball is going to have the same momentum as your body as you're going towards it. So, you know, you need to use your touch or even just stop your body a little bit to adjust on the push shot, all that kind of stuff. And I think that it just, again, it just makes it a little bit harder for quickly to finish on some of those plays. But just the one-on-one scoring, I think you probably saw it at the end there. You know, there was a couple opportunities for him to score, and one time he took a, you know, I think the Raptors were down two, he drove a baseline and he tried to like dump it off to Garrett Temple, and it was like, okay, yeah, Garrett Temple's cutting, and yeah, like, you know, that would be the right play, quote unquote, to maybe a big at that point. Like, if Kelly, you know, ducked in the way, you know, Garrett ducked in at that point, a little bounce pass to Kelly and then he tries to finish around the basket, not a bad idea. But like, it's Garrett Temple, and it's also like, you know, Clowney and Claxton at that point had like 14 blocks, basically. It was like, you know, not the perfect time. But again, like, that's why I like these games that are close, and that's why it was so annoying to see those like super lopsided 50-point smacks or like 40-point smacks. It's like, there's nothing you even take out of those. It's just a waste of time. You know what I mean? Like, now when you get in a close game, you can practice things like executing. You got Grady Dick a chance to, you know, take an important three. The Raptors used their last time out. They were down four. They had about 4 seconds left, and they executed a play where they use Grady coming off a screen. Then they use then quickly come off the screen. Then you saw Grady come back up to use another screen to catch and shoot for the ball. He pump faked his former teammate at Kansas last year, actually, Jalen Wilson, pump faked Jalen Wilson out of his shoes and got himself an open three, but he missed it as well. And then you saw Grady like looking at the scoreboard like a little bit mad after the game, just like kind of like looking at it like, ah, like, you know, ruining the missed opportunity. Like, good. Like, that, I mean, like, whatever, that three wouldn't even change anything. Like, it would have just been, if he made it, 105, 106, and the Raptors still would have lost. But it's those reps, it's the feeling, it's that competitiveness. And I mean, you know, you can always tell players, like, it's about development, or, you know, it's not necessarily about winning right now, it's about the process. But like, that's how these guys are wired. Like, most of these guys have won their whole careers, or just like, even if they haven't won their whole careers, expect to win every game. That's just what makes them, like, you know, not just like physically strong as athletes, but like also like mentally strong as athletes. Like, you're just always looking to win. It doesn't matter what it is. You always hear about it, NBA players being so competitive in anything that they do. So you still need to throw them a ball a little bit. And I thought like the competitiveness kicked in. Like, you know, guys came in and showcased what they had. Now, the Raptors, were they shorthanded in many instances? Of course. Mamadou Gaye and Malik Williams as your, you know, starting center and your backup center is like, all due respect to those guys who did compete in the physicality area. Like, Malik had 14 rebounds and Mamadou Gaye had up two blocks and a steal, but like 4 of 17 from your center position, mostly because they don't have the skill to score, even on rudimentary plays, is difficult. Like, the amount of times you saw Malik getting blocked, the amount of times you see Gaye like get pushed out of his spots, or like even on contested shots just like bumped out the way, where it's like, you know, again, you typically expect your bigs to be big. And even putting aside the skill quotient, like, I don't think that the size quotient was not hidden for them in this game. So, you know, that alone is going to tank you. And of course, you play Jalen McDaniels any amount of minutes, it's always going to be a minus. And 3 fouls in 14 minutes and just very unfocused once again. But the rest of the guys, I thought, really competed hard. You know, again, quickly doing his very best to create, and there were lots of mistakes. But you play a game like this, it's meaningful, and then you watch the film. And I know it's ridiculous to be watching, you know, like, you know, at this point, so many people are not even watching the games, if we're going to be completely frank about it, like, you know, because we know that, like, this is kind of tapped out. But for the players, they're serious, they're professionals, and all of a sudden, you can watch the tape. Like, you're not going to watch the tape when it's a 48-point game and nobody's playing hard and everyone's just running in for layups. Or even last game when the Raptors lost at home yesterday, where it's like, okay, are you really going to watch back all the times that, you know, Obi Toppin ran in for his personal, you know, dunk contest dunks while nobody, you know, just did anything? Like, nah, that's not, there's no point in that, right? But this one, you actually competed and those mistakes actually didn't matter in the context of winning this game. It's a lot more that you can process out of this one. And I thought, like, you know, other guys, War, I thought, did a decent job off the bench, knocked down some threes, created some offense, you know, 18 minutes. He continues to not be, like, high up in the pecking order. Like, I don't think other guys have come in before him, you know, things like that. I mean, he's, you know, so I don't think it's looking all that good for his prospects. But at the same time, like, you know, the whole team struggles on defense, so it would be a little bit difficult to single out War in particular for his defense. Although it is kind of uniquely bad and it does kind of stand out, but still, like, I think offensively there's clearly a skill level and a talent level there, and I thought he did well. And then Javon Freeman Liberty also came in this game and continued, not the same thing he did last night, but, you know, he had a really strong start offensively, like, hunted for his shots, you know, was, you know, knocked down two catch and shoot threes, which was great to see. You saw him getting to the basket a couple times, just being active. I still don't really know. Like, I would rather my guards, actually, I don't even know what I'm asking for. I feel like for a third string guard, Javon is definitely doing a good job. And it's just about, like, can you bring one distinguishing skill? But ultimately, you know, he can play. Like, the difference between him and, like, McDaniels or, like, Mohamedou or, like, Malik, it's, like, pretty clear. Like, you know, you cycle through certain guys. And I think with Javon, not only did the Raptors obviously intentionally, you know, like, what they got him early in, you know, in the process, bringing him on, like, after training camp, after summer league was over, he had a good summer league. That was with Chicago, not with Toronto. But he's been in the program pretty much since then. And, yeah, I mean, you can see why he was prioritized and why he's lasted while these other guys, I think pretty much every other guy signed on a two-way, or on a two-way, was already dashed and then replaced with other two-ways at this point. But Javon continues to, like, actually stick around and showcase something. And whatever, I think next season, unless something, you know, really, really impressive happens, you're probably going to just continue to see him being a third string. But, you know, there's something there. And, you know, when you give him some more minutes, you do see some more production, which is not the case for most of these guys that they've tried out late in the roster and late in the season. So, again, altogether, just a really fun effort. And it is a shame to see the Raptors lose this one. I mean, I think that you know, there was certainly, again, a lot of competitiveness. I think a lot of it was, you know, Dennis focused. I don't think it's like, oh, they hated Dennis and they went hard at him. It's like, no, it's like, you know, it's your former teammate. He's a spiky guy anyway. I mean, we've seen, you know, the history of Dennis Schroeder, not just as a Raptor but in the league, you know. But ultimately it's just fun, and it created something where it's like, it's game 80, the game starts at 7:30, it's a Wednesday, a lot of people are tapped down on the Raptors season anyway. When they do tap in, they're like, who is this, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, I'm sure a lot of people have had this experience. With all due respect to the players, to make that actually watchable and entertaining is onto itself like a really, really good thing. So if you want to say that it's like the standards are dropped, of course we know that, but it was fun. It was a fun game. Raptors lose it. Yeah, you know, you got to see something from Quickly. You got to see something from Grady. And you got to see quite a competitive effort, overall, honestly. And you got to see a really fun broadcast too. I got to say, man, Jack, I mean, obviously Jack's a national treasure, but, like, seriously, Jack was awesome. He was, like, dropping Biggie references and stuff. You know, him and Matt were talking about, like, okay, you know, like, in the summertime, you pop open the fire hydrant for some cooling, which I'm like, What in the world, what in the Godfather 2 are you describing here? Like, hello, I have not experienced this in my lifetime, nor do I think anybody has. in big cities, you know, pretty much, I don't know, man, in the last 30 years, like, that's just not a thing. If you're hot, you're probably just going to stay indoors. No, but, or, you know, whatever. But in any case, I just want to say I was thoroughly entertained, and I hope you were too, because, you know, otherwise, my expectations are quite low. So you give me a good game, and that's all I'm going to ask for. Ultimately, like, look, they had 15 blocks. They had way more size. That's what's going to stop the Raptors going forward, is that size. The Raptors are going to have to find a way to get more of that size in there while maintaining their style of play. I think they've certainly brought in, you know, different types of scorers, more perimeter scorers, more guards. You know, that's undeniable. Grady's popping off. Oh, you know, I'm pretty happy with Quickly, and of course he's going to be re-signed. It's just a question of what number at this point. By the way, Drew Holiday extended for like 4 years, $135 million at his big age. So, I mean, I don't know. That's let me look up his age. Yeah, he's 33 years old. So that's not big age. That's only 2 years older than me. Damn. But 135. I do feel like it won't be like that cheap to keep Quickly, but again, like, we know what he can do, and we know he's a really solid player, and I think there's more improvements that you can, you know, track and want to see from him too. But the baseline is there, and also, like, the other thing too, not to get too, like, you know, psychoanalysis or whatever, but in a tight game like this where it's competitive, where everyone's really into it, we also get to see, like, who's into it and who backs off from that too, and it reveals a little bit of character. I like that. And of course, this is like the lowest stakes. It's Brooklyn on game 80, both teams have nothing, you know what I mean? But like, in a game like that, who gets up for it and who backs off? And I like that Quickly got up at Dennis, even though Dennis got the better of him at the end. I like that Quickly did, you know, had that, you know, in him too. So it was fun. It was fun to see the whole bench, you know, celebrate and wear their, you know, their stylish outfits and all that kind of stuff, and just cheer on the guys. I mean, I think that's what's the messaging this week. It's been, I would say, it's been laid on a little bit thick, honestly, from both players and coaching staff, of being like, well, we know we suck, but like, or like, we know that we're in a bad spot this season, but no one's giving up, all right? Like, at least give us credit for not giving up, and our vibes are really high. And it's like, okay, like, it's a little bit too much, but still, I think you are seeing that. I think there was that quote from Bobby on the broadcast the other night, where he was talking about how, like, you know what, we did make the transition, and we do see this difference in lightness. And I think what he's really talking about is like, okay, the previous group, expecting to win a championship, play a bunch of young guys who don't have that experience and honestly don't even know what it's like to play at that level and what it means to play at that level. And it's not the easiest thing. Like, you know, last year, if they lost a game like this, there would be a lot of, it'd be much more angry, and there'd be a lot more, like, you know, I don't know, I guess, you know, disappointment or bitterness or whatever. And of course, if you lower expectations to zero and all of a sudden you're not, like, unhappy, I suppose that's not necessarily a good thing. It's really, in fact, it also sounds kind of sad, but that's ultimately the step that they need to get to now, because they are pivoting, they're going younger, and you're just hoping that the young group finds a way to be able to be competitive, to be get to that level where it's like Kyle Lowry style. Like, you fight for every inch, you fight for everything, you fight for every call, you fight for every play, you fight for every rebound, and you just need to win. And I think right now the Raptors are okay with losing, which is difficult, but you got to somehow get to that point where you're like, you need to win every single game. And it's gonna be a process. And sometimes it might happen overnight too, because we did see that. I mean, that was something they brought up on the broadcast. For some reason, they showed us, as if this season wasn't traumatic enough, they also showed us Kyle Lowry getting blocked by Paul Pierce out of nowhere in game 7 back in 2014. But you saw, like, that season, and I think the reminder was that, like, you know what, like, you will have to go through this process and how fun that was, and hopefully we get to recapture that. And I totally agree, you know, and I think that that's where you're hoping we get to at this point too. But that's not a guarantee, but we'll be around either way to track it. So before I get to 3 stars, a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty spicy broth, so it'll fill you up and get you fired up. Take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your 3 stars from this game. First, I'm going to give it to Quickly. 32 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, steal, block. A little inefficient, 10 of 24. Some mistakes at the end there too, but, like, come on. Like, ultimately, Quickly made the most of a difficult situation here with very, very little else to go with. And outside of a slow first quarter and a bit of a slow last 2 minutes, he did a really good job running the team. So credit to Quickly. second starter is going to go to Grady. 24 points, career high. Six threes made, a career high. 9 of 20 from the field. 6 of 14 from three. Didn't do too much else, and also definitely got, you know, targeted by Dennis. I mean, you know, that's just going to happen. Again, that's why you play these games, so you can reveal some of the weaknesses in your roster. We know that Grady needs to work on his defense. Like, let's be honest. If Dennis Schroeder can pick on Grady Dick, that means he really needs to work on his defense, because Dennis Schroeder is not even a guy who's going to play that much ISO typically. You know what I mean? So, but still, offensively, I like the process from Grady. He was really aggressive. And then your third star, I think you can go a number of places with this one, but I'll probably go with Javon. Javon's on a nice streak here. 12 points off the bench, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal. He's acquitted himself well, and I'm looking forward to seeing, I don't know, if he plays summer league again, if preseason, all that process. I mean, the Raptors have control over him at every single step of the way, so it's just a matter of how well he continues to adapt. But so far, he's doing a good job. And in terms of taking opportunity at the end of the season, yeah, him more than anyone else, I think, from those, you know, assorted pile that they've sort of been, you know, sifting through, is doing the best job with that. So your Gerald Henderson Award winner, of course, you know that's going to be Dennis. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. 7 of 18 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, 5 of 5 from the foul line. Not efficient, but in the fourth quarter, made every single play. And you know what? After that one, you know, and one by Ochai, after the whole bench started celebrating, you know, he, you know, that it kicked in for him. And I respect that. You know what I mean? Like, he's spiky. He's going to get after it. But, like, you know, he does hit that gear where it's like, when it gets really competitive, he actually really likes it. And, yeah, you know, just I'm sure for Dennis, like, this is not the year he was expecting. You know, even a little bit of get back, not even get back in terms of he resents the franchise. I don't think it's that serious, but even a little bit of get back against the team that traded you. I mean, come on, that's gotta be fun. So, that does it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to the Raptors Show. And you've been listening to Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup.